Greetings, travelers! Welcome to another episode of Venture Maidens. Before we begin, I want to say thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music, and to our wonderful Patreon donors who make this show possible with your monthly donations. You are the real heroes of this story. To find out more about how to support the show, purchase merch, catch a live stream, or join our Discord community, check out VentureMaidens.com. All right, now it's time to hit you with the recap of what happened last time, then we'll dive right into the action. Last time on Venture Maidens. After Aoife relayed the disturbing discovery of finding a knife in the door, Lou sought some answers from a local divination wizard, while Aoife headed to the Royal Theater to set up for the evening's fashion show. Lou's fears were confirmed that the knife was indeed a message from her previously dead fiancé, Jada, but with no further leads, Lou's only course of action was to rendezvous with Cassie to attend Aoife's show. As the hour of the event drew closer, Arseda received a surprise visit from her parents, who had arrived to watch their daughter's debut and deliver a warning that something suspicious was plaguing the Royal Theater. With everyone on high alert, the show began, and Aoife's designs immediately caught the attention of the Tsarina, who was front and center in the audience. Triumph turned into disaster, however, as one of the models revealed herself to be a monstrous construct made of thread, who launched an attack on the Tsarina and the helpless audience members. Aoife, Lou, Cassie, and Aoife's parents sprang to action and defeated the assassin, but not before the creature threatened to return and finish their gruesome task. Grateful for the rescue, the Tsarina thanked Aoife personally, extending an invitation to speak further once the chaos was past. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. After one wild show, let's take things a bit slow. Hear the tale of a love long dead, then end with new romance instead. Get your story straight as we head into Favor. Episode 35, Cross and Bones.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens, episode 35. Welcome, welcome, everyone. How are y'all doing? How are y'all doing today?
Super, super good.
Super, as the French say. Super.
As they say in Feilin, super. And yeah, it's a nice rainy day here in Seattle, so I'm feeling chill. Nice. I got a cozy cardigan on. I'm feeling love this it. Is going to be a cozy, chill downtime episode with absolutely no problems ever. So that's it. That's what I'm feeling. Sure thing. Let's make it happen. Hey, everybody. If you don't know who we are, welcome. We're the Venture Maidens. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. Before we dive in, I want to say this is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect standard. We keep content warnings up for just general body horror for fantasy violence. We don't have any specific other content warnings planned for this episode, but who knows? One might come up. So keep your eye on the chat and also the show notes for the podcast episodes, just in case. And this episode also, Venture Maidens is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy. We are not approved or endorsed by Wizards of the Coast in any way, etc., etc. Okay, that's the business. So let's do it. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, my name is Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luveri Sath, your Drow Rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim Etemad. I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I'm Sage, and I'm your bard who's bound to entertain Aoife Flannery.
Oh, I like it. We're expanding our options. It's so great to have everybody back these last couple episodes, which is, it's been a small house. So we're all back. We're all here. Obviously, a bunch of stuff has happened. Tony and Rook had an adventure that we'll talk about that happened off screen. You know, Aoife and Lou have been making friends in high places and, you know, tearing up the fashion scene. So we're going to take today to kind of resolve all of that. We're going to have a little bit of downtime, all some other fun stuff we're going to catch up on. But of course, before we do that, we got to do that sweet, sweet recap. So yes, so we had ended, you know, last time was that big, the fashion show, Aoife's showcase, which was highly successful until, of course, this fae construct thread assassin thing appeared and tried to assassinate the Tsarina. And, you know, about 1,000 Eldred nobility were there watching, you know, Aoife, Lou, Aoife's parents and Cassie, like, kind of save the day amidst this struggle here. There was a conversation had. Aoife actually spoke to the Tsarina and implied that you all had information that would be useful to her about the nature of this event and other things happening in the Empire. So big, big, lots of stuff happened last time. And in the wake of all of that, of course, we are going to have to do some resolution. So like I said, this episode is going to be kind of a downtime episode. It's mostly going to be guided by what all you all want to do. So we all have some scenes that I know we wanted to follow up on, conversations we wanted to have. We're actually going to also do like a week of downtime in terms of game mechanics that you can spend. But yeah, so I have a few things that I want to make sure we hit, and then we will go around the table, and this will kind of be one of those interlude episodes guided mostly by y'all. But, oh, right, and before we dive into that, Aoife achieved and knocked out of the park the second tier of her heroic destiny. You've reached tier 2, now what do you get? What's going on with that?
I'm starting to be kind of a big deal. So she can secure an invitation to exclusive events or gatherings. She can learn the specific location of a difficult-to-find person or object, and make sure that a particular door or chest is unlocked, and can acquire comfortable accommodations and food for one night, and can convince law enforcement to overlook a minor offense. So no more speeding tickets for your girl.
Do you even have your permit so for this your carriage?
Wow. Can you even drive? So limits on this too. So you have to be in a town or city or another locale where you are known. So I think at this point it's safe to say Empire cities. So Chasiana, Faelin. I don't think Ashtar would qualify yet. They're kind of tuned out. And I would say Coven is starting to be on that list as well, since your connection to Silk. So those are like your three places where you can do this. And you can, once per day, you can call in a favor from these admirers. So obviously, if you keep doing this all the time, there might be some problems getting enough admirers, but we'll play it by ear. And yeah, you know, you have a little bit of influence now to...
Wait, well, once per day, so like Aoife can't like rob a fabric store, be like, police, look the other way, and then also request a 5-star hotel that same day.
Correct. No, it's once per day. You can call in one favor. And these are sort of examples of like the type of stuff that would happen over a minor favor. So, you know, and it's overlooking a minor offense. So like, I would say an armed robbery, not gonna fall into that category.
What about a regular robbery? Not armed.
A regular robbery, you know, like a petty cash thing, or like, you know, oh, you I didn't pay my taxes. Like, you know, yeah, I shoplifted a tiny, it's a lipstick, you know, that kind of shit. Like,
but I definitely think we'll be using one of these for one of our downtime activities. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These securing invitations is going to be big, I think, for helping you all with your downtime stuff. So. Very cool. Yeah, people know you, Aoife. Tier 3, as a look forward, is called A-list. So right now you're like a B-list celebrity.
Just like me in real life, a niche internet celebrity.
A niche internet. I am very popular on my podcast. I'm famous in Canada. It's fine. Okay, cool. So that's great. So congratulations. You are a celebrity. All right. So with that, we have heard a lot about what happened in the last couple of episodes, but we haven't heard yet what Tony has been up to. So very shortly before Lou and Aoife left to go to the Capitol and the showcase, Rook had actually approached you, Tony, in one of these off moments and had asked you if you would be willing to do a personal favor for her and come with her, basically to watch her back while she runs an errand. And she thinks it'll take, you know, at least a day, you know, with traveling and not without the hut, probably a weekend.
A little weekend getaway together, huh?
No, it's just I need someone. It would be nice to...
You need someone, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, don't, you don't need to ask again. I'll come.
Okay. Good. So right now also too, she's for picture, she's about 21, I think, at this point. So she's about the same age-ish as you right now, because it's been about a week since, yeah, all the last like four episodes we've done have only covered a week. So you guys. Mm. Yeah. So she's like, okay, cool, thanks. Could you also bring like flowers?
Are we gonna go see your grandma? What are we doing?
No, can you just bring a bouquet of nice flowers, please? Like, do I have to, I just don't know what to buy.
Sure. Tell me about what you're looking for. Is this a love bouquet? Is this a good to see you again bouquet? Flowers say something. Flowers talk.
It's just like a thing I do. I just need to go and put the flowers somewhere. It doesn't really matter what they look like. It's just, they just should be flowers, I guess, and just be nice.
Okay. Sure. Tony will step out for a little bit and do a little flower hunting.
Yeah. Rook seemed, obviously very flustered. She didn't really know how to answer the question other than it seems very clear to her that she needs flowers. She didn't know how to answer the rest of your questions. So that would be perfect timing in terms of you all will go off to the capital and then, Rook will ask you. And since Aoife and Lou did end up needing the chicken hut to go, you and Rook are kind of getting dropped off nearby. And Rook is letting you know that you are heading towards a very small town, kind of like east of the Ashtar area. It's a town called Ruby Ridge. It's not like a notable town in any way. It's just kind of one of those like on the road to Ashtar from the Mother's Delta, one of these like small crossing towns. And over the time, she really won't volunteer a lot of information unless you specifically ask. Is there anything you want to particularly ask on your way there?
I mean, I know Rook's not really one for small talk. Tony probably tries to just to annoy her. So, any, you know, rough and tumbling I should be expecting, or you just need someone to stand one watch from a distance? Do we know each other? Is there a game plan? Like, what's this errand? Can I hear a little bit more about it?
It should be fine. There's no fighting, I hope. But, you know, just the way things are with the Fae and stuff, I figured, you know, having somebody to watch my back wouldn't be the worst thing. And just, I don't know, anytime going into the mortal realm, it's still hard for me, I guess. Just don't really know what to expect. And obviously you've seen it. I'm not exactly the greatest at getting people or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, I guess I'm surprised you asked me then, because I don't think I'm really all that much better at it. Thank goodness for Aoife.
What are you talking about? You're like, so, I don't know, everybody listens to you and they all like you and they don't like me and I don't know why, but.
I mean, you don't really trust anyone, Rook.
Why should I?
Fair.
People are terrible.
But if you're trying to move your way in the world, sometimes you have to rely on people. You can't really do all that much on your own.
Okay, well, that's what I'm doing, asking you to come with me.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, just a little insight as to maybe how to improve things in the future.
She like is a sigh, but she listens to you, you know, like she's mulling it over. And the dusty road, you know, in the middle of nowhere, it's Ruby Ridge is situated up high on kind of a cliff bluff area, and as you get close, you see why the town is named this. There's like these beautiful fields of like red poppies that just kind of surround the town. So as you're winding up the road here, you see the sleepy little hamlets, maybe like 50 houses or so, some like bigger buildings, just like in the swath of red. And you walk your way into town probably in the like late evening. You can see it's mostly like a farming community, so some people are heading back to their houses and stuff. It seems like things are closing down for the night, or like the taverns and the bars are starting to open for the night, like that area of dusk. And Rook kind of puts up her hood. It's almost like a reflex that she does just to like hide her face, and looks around nervously, and then kind of picks a direction leading like actually through the town and up towards like the top of this crest of the ridge. And as you continue to follow her, you see she's leading you towards the gates of like a graveyard, small graveyard, like next to like a very humble stone church situated on the hilltop. And yeah, she stops kind of outside the gates, and she's like, she kind of puts out a hand expectantly.
Yeah, I hand her the flowers.
I'll be quick if you just want to wait here or come with me, or I don't know, do what you want.
I'll stay close behind.
Okay. She winds her way through, you know, the stones, and there's like 30 or 40. It's a very small town. Probably not a lot of people are buried here. And she makes her way back towards like a small grave, kind of in the corner under the tree. She knows exactly where it is, so she's clearly been here before. And she, yeah, takes a deep breath and puts down the flowers on this grave, and kind of stands there and hunches her arms and looks at it. You want to see what the gravestone reads?
Yes, please.
It reads, "Here lies Karellen Raven, warrior, wife, and dutiful servant of the Empire. Rest in peace. Born 8 Oxia, 17 21 Mindarus. Died 21 Damia, 17 25 Mindarus." Was about 6 months ago. And today's date is 8 Oxia Mindarus, the birthday of whoever this person was.
How long does Rook stay there?
That's not long. It's maybe 3-4 minutes. And then she kind of wipes her eyes and says, "All right, now we drink."
Oh, well, you couldn't have said it better myself. Like, she was ready with a flask in one hand and a flower that she took out of the bouquet before handing it to her, hands both over to her, just like, I figured this might have been the agenda for today, so just here.
Yeah, this is the important part. Anyway. And she like winds her way back, and again, she's keeping her head down, and just a hunched shoulder, the total posture of somebody who's just like doesn't want to deal with anything that they're feeling at this moment. And she winds her way back down and makes her way towards one of the larger buildings in town. It's called the Squeaky Wheel. It's clearly a tavern. And she steps inside and hangs her cloak on a peg nearby and like nods at the bartender, who's like an older human man. And she says, "Henry." And he says, "Rook." And then she like goes off and sits like in a corner table.
"Henry?
You? Welcome. What would you like to drink? Rook is just whiskey."
I'll just take a very strong ale."
"All right, be right over." And, you know, he goes back to fiddling with customers and stuff, and Rook has already, like, taken her place. And again, this all feels very much like something she has done before, somewhere she has been before, and this is all very routine.
"So."
"Yeah. Thanks for coming with me."
"So he knows your name." "Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. This stuff is hard to do alone, so I get it."
"Yeah. I don't know, I figured if anyone would get it, you would. You know. Sorry about the shit that happened to your family and stuff."
"Yeah. Well, better out than in."
"Yeah, yeah, that." And as the drinks come down, she, like, slams down a shot glass on the table and... "Ah, oh, that's terrible, Henry. It's terrible. You need to get some better stuff." Henry's like, "You don't have to drink it." and goes away to get a refill.
So, can you tell me about who we visited? Seeing as we're celebrating their birthday.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, we always used to come here on her birthday. This is where she grew up. Her body's not even actually buried there. It's in some Karelian. I don't know what they do, but you know, I thought it was important that she have a grave here.
Did you grow up here?
Me? No. Was a fae, remember? I didn't grow up anywhere.
It's interesting that you were close with a Karelian.
Yeah, I thought you might think so. She wasn't like the other ones, you know? I met her when I was what I was, and she didn't kill me, right? And I thought that it was really stupid, but I thought that maybe we could have had a future together, you know? That's why I did this. She waves her hand, like, frustratingly at herself. And she died, so that doesn't even fucking matter.
That is nice that you still come see her. I know she appreciates that.
It wasn't her fault. Yeah. Any of this, you know?
You trying to say it's your fault?
I don't know. I mean, it can't have gone over well if they did find out, you know, the rest of the Krellins. But I don't know. I wasn't there when she died.
Well, that must have been hard.
Yeah. And she throws back another shot. Have you ever been in love with anyone?
No. No, not, I wouldn't really consider anything I've experienced love. Not that kind of love, at least.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I mean, they always say it's better to have loved and lost than not at all, right?
Who's they? They don't fucking know anything. Shut. I just, you know. I just don't. I don't know what it's all for anymore. And I guess that's where I am. When she was here, it was easy to know what it was for.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't really know what I would do if I didn't have the family that I have, but it's nice that I found some sort of version of that on the road with you guys.
Yeah. It's definitely been nice not being alone. Again.
Rock. Come on. You're starting to like us. She's elbowing her.
No. You're gonna... Trey throw something back.
Damn, girl, let me catch up. Hold on. Tony takes like four shots.
Yeah, she's like, all right, cool. No more tears. This is stupid. You know, I don't know. I don't know when my birthday is. But I guess I should decide. It seems like a good excuse to do this, at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why not make it today? Let's celebrate both your birthdays.
It's going to be a better birthday than the very traumatic being human one. Yeah, okay. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Tell me a dumb, ridiculous story about the two of you.
Okay. And she will. And she'll tell you. It's nothing important. It's all this dumb, stupid shit, you know, like when you first meet someone and that kind of evolving relationship. And she'll talk, and it's the most you've ever heard her talk. And, you know, she's already booked, like, a room here for the night mm-hmm. that you can crash on as part of her routine, you know. And, yeah, so she thanks you again. And you can stay the night here, and then that's the weekend. That's what she asked you to do.
When we eventually return, I think Tony feels a lot more comfortable. She's super grateful that Rook opened up to her. So when we return, I think she's going to, in a letter, and give Rook a little time, say, like, yeah, I know you didn't have to bring someone along. I appreciate that you felt comfortable doing that with me and sharing what you shared with me. And, like, I've got your back, and I know the other two do, too, so I can't wait to celebrate both your birthdays again. It was a good time.
Yeah, and you think she probably reads it and, you know, doesn't actually ever say anything but might smile at you, like, the next day, acknowledgement, and then pretends it never happened, as is her way. So, you know, that's, you all basically meet back up kind of at the same time here, so, or not, depending on what you want to do. So I know from there, that was the scene I wanted to hit. And at the very end of this episode, I want to have a scene about what the hell you're going to do next, because now you have an outstanding invitation from, of course, the Blossom Court Sovereign, who wants to talk to you. And you also have an invitation from the Tsarina, who wants to talk to you. So we're going to have that conversation at some point in this episode, at least at the end. But we could have it now, like, coming back together, at least to share information, or we could dive into individual scenes. What are you all feeling?
I want to know, Aoife, how were those designs? How did it go?
Oh my god. Yes, so we don't have to worry too much about where we are in space and time, because we have a magical chicken hut that can transport us here instantly. So let's say we all come back, we all check in after our various things at the chicken hut, and we're all back, you all walk in the door.
Yeah, so Aoife looks just like a whirlwind of emotions. Because after, you know, after she spends her week with her parents out in Phelan, and, you know, y'all come get her and bring her back, and she... I don't know, she has this feeling of, like, you know, she looks a little bit older. She looks like, you know, it looks like something's kind of changed in her. She looks a little bit more serious, like, you know, a little chub on her face, you know, seems to have lessened as, you know, she's, you know, growing up and stuff. And she is, of course, over the moon to tell Tony about the fight that happened in the theater, where the showcase happened, and it's kind of...
She's hanging on every word. She's like, what?
Holy shit! Yeah.
And it's kind of like an afternote that she's like, oh yeah, and like, everyone loved my dresses, and this arena seemed to be interested.
Well, I mean, what a goddamn mess, but congratulations!
It was the most... You know, it feels weird saying this after the literal magic that we've seen, but it was, like, the most magical weekend that I've had in my life thus far, I think. It was just so peculiar.
I mean, it sounds like it, yeah.
And she looks like she's about to say something, but then she looks at Lou immediately, like, and then she kind of closes her mouth and...
What?
Gets drinks for everyone.
Wait. What was that? Lou, what was that?
Wine first. And she, like,
pouring.
All right, guys, when I come home, I expect there to be drinks on the table from
I'm
now on.
Sorry, baby. And she's like, takes like a big long swig, and she's like, okay, so Aoife's the good news. Yay me, I feel like this is always my part. So we got a little bit of a calling card stuck in our hotel door in the form of this. And she'll pull out the knife that had been stuck in the door. And she's like, you should hold it. It feels like shit. And passes it over. That right there is a knife that I gave my ex-fiance 10 years ago. Before she left and I never saw her again. That was stuck in the door. I know. She's just like watching these expressions and just like takes another gulp of her wine. And she's like, so that's happening. And I went to go get it looked at by a divination person. I spent so much money on that spell, and I'm sorry, I'm going to pay you guys back, by the way, but I just want to put it out there since this is a shared bank account. But
Rook from the kitchen, who has just been lurking, like, makes a cough, like, when you said spent so much money. Sorry.
Forget money. Looking at Rook. Hold on. You had an
priorities.
Ex-fiance who disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Taking deep looks at Aoife and at Rook. And I'm like...
Rook's like, I don't know.
Well, I mean...
You never told her.
Aoife's kind of chewing a fingernail nervously.
Watching this whole thing.
I mean, I'd mentioned Jada to you guys before.
Yeah, you didn't mention she was, like, undead or whatever.
And, you know, that whole thing with the mayor. Yeah, I really had no idea. I mean, when somebody goes on a ship voyage and they don't show up for 10 years and nobody sees them again anywhere you look when you have ears everywhere, I was pretty sure that she was just dead. And she takes, like, just finishes off her cup. So, anyway, I went to the divination person because this seems very magic-y. And I don't know what to do with that shit. And she said it was from Jada. Well, what I asked was Jada or some form of her, because this is not anything that anyone I would ever date would fucking do. And she said that it was definitely for me specifically. So I don't think you guys are, like, in specific danger too much, hopefully. So, I mean, but also, like, if you guys are uncomfortable with that, I get it, and I can figure something else out, but just let me know. But then the last thing, I guess, of relevant information was when I asked where she was, she just said that she would find me, and I shouldn't bother looking.
Okay, well, first of all, y'all just helped me with all my family's dirty laundry, so you fucking drunk if you think I'm sitting this one out, but...
I'm almost there!
What did the calling card say exactly?
It was just a knife in the door, which is like a thieves cant kind of symbol for...
I see.
She's like, I guess you guys know I'm not just a chef, so it's a rogue thing. Mm-hmm. This basically means, hey, motherfucker, I know where you are, and I can get to you, basically. So I've left one of these before. But, you know, I don't generally do it for loved ones. So that's my concern.
So do you think she's, like, possessed by something?
I don't know. And, like, you see, like, this kind of, like, air of, you know, trying to laugh everything off, like, cracks for a second. And she's just like, I don't know. When we spoke to that mayor... That was the first time I'd heard anything. Like, I'm here with you guys right now because I hate to say it, but I'd given up, you know? She just wasn't coming home. So I don't know what's going on with her. I had a dream a long time ago, which is not something I do. And she just points to her ears. And I have to assume it has something to do with the Fae, because I think what I saw was, like, her last moments on the ship, and one of the Weird Sisters was there.
Ah.
So.
She'd be the Witch's Queen, I'm guessing.
Would I know which one it was from the dream?
No, I think in that kind of dream logic, it wasn't clear which one it was. But yeah, Rook will certainly confirm, yep, that's something Hecate is known by. So do you think Hecate did this?
I mean, unless it's just some other, you know, redirection bullshit that I've been given this dream with a vision of a Weird Sister, that seems to be the logical conclusion.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's something she would do, but that also is very problematic. I mean, if she's just doing this, what to fuck with you, then that's, Rook is just like.
Wait, is Rook saying that Hecate did the dream to fuck with her, or the knife to fuck with her?
The knife, or the Jada, or bringing her, or whatever this has to do.
Hmm.
I mean, Hecate doesn't have anything to do with dreams, right? They're not part of that court. So,
but it is unusual, and I think we've seen some evidence of this, that she is somehow usurping power from the Sleeping Court, maybe, or that the Celestial Court is combining forces, perhaps. I'm not quite sure, but you know, these dream dragons that have visited us, and Hecate has been in Tony's dream several times. She's clearly extending her power some way, and this is before we even gave her the book, so who knows what she's up to.
I had the hotter one, the younger one, in my dreams. Just saying.
Oh, true.
I don't think they're hot anymore. I think they're fucking terrifying. I mean...
That's the right way to feel about them.
I get it. Like, we all saw them that first time we had an experience. Great racks all around. However, they're fucking with everybody's lives right now. And, I mean, all I can think about sometimes when I'm just trying to get some fucking meditation in is she has this book now. We know now that we've been in their realm, that names are so important. And how many times has anybody signed a letter to their nan with their full name? Like, it's not good. Things are gonna just keep getting worse.
Yeah. And you still owe them a favor.
Yeah, I know.
Lou just like reaches over and grabs Tony's shoulders and like gives her an affectionate shake. It's like,
what do you want to do? I mean, I get it, man. Maybe we should just like split up for a little while, separate myself from you guys so that you can figure this out. I don't know if that'll
that won't do any good. If Hecate has started, you are under her thumb with a favor, right?
Yeah.
But now she's got this shit. If she has anything to do with your dead fiance, now she's getting into your head. And I don't know what she's done about you. And she looks at you, Aoife, but there's something next. Clearly, she's already messed up my life. So I don't think separating is gonna do jack shit at this point.
Maybe we could meet one of those deal brokers. After all, I did finagle that meeting with the Blossom Court Sovereign. If anything, we could use that invitation and pass that off to them if you think it would get you out of the situation you're in. And she gestures broadly at
your situation.
This. Okay.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you heard a... You said something about that, right, Tony? Like a name, or didn't the changelings tell you something?
Reynard.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, yeah, I think it would definitely be worth it to follow up with him or find him, but I have no idea where to even start looking, so that's totally on all of you.
I mean, I feel like trying to get any kind of handle on what's going on in the Fae realm, the Coven is a good place to start.
It is at least the part of the Fae realm that has the most reason.
Mm-hmm. We have some friends. A friend.
Oh, we've got Bert and Ernie. I'm sure they might know where to find some folks, too.
Mm-hmm.
Candy has a lot of weird connections.
Tortimer.
You also know Professor Mole as somebody you've met, and he seems to like you. Tortimer, who runs, a magic bookshop. And
as one of our downtime activities, Aoife definitely does want to spend some time researching with Tortimer, you know, help him write his memoirs, and also look for anything that he would have on the King Unseen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rook will just say again, like, all right, well, clearly, we can do everything we can to try and get a handle on this, but I think it's worth noting if Hecate did do this to Jada, and Jada is creeping around watching us, she's probably just spying for Hecate, so literally everything we do is probably going right back to her. So keep an eye out, and be more careful than you usually are. Like, looks at you, Aoife, directly as she says it.
Aoife does not seem offended by it, but she looks puzzled on how to be more careful. She looks clearly clueless on, I don't even know how. I thought I was trying.
We thought the extra skin of the chubby cheeks, that was the loss of, you know, youth, but it was just the loss of more secrets, as they drove.
Was this the secrets where, yeah.
I mean, her hair is still full of secrets. So, you
know. Okay. And Rook, it's like, looks at you all and is like, anything else I need to know about that's trying to kill us?
I do have a Cassie update. I know that even me, I'm, you know, we're all a little concerned about connections that she has. I spoke with her. Fully going in, you know, I'm not going to lie to you guys, like, I do like her, but before moving forward, I wanted to see what I can find out. I mean, I know that I'm not, like, the best at talking to people, but ultimately, part of my job is finding out information. So, I went, I talked to her, she told me essentially she does not currently have any connections with the Corellans, but she did previously work with them.
You never just...
But, wait for it. She also seemed like there were some things that, I don't know, she didn't want to or she couldn't tell me. So I'm not fully 100% like, oh, she's harmless. But it didn't seem to me like at this time she was just going to go run to the Corellans and be like, so, there's this group of ladies. I think that maybe for now we're okay, but it is something to keep an eye on.
And Rook's expression is very tight. Just nobody walks away from the Corellans. That's not something they do. Nobody walks away from them.
She seemed like she was just trying to keep a low profile. I don't know that they just let her walk away, but it almost seems like she's might be in hiding from them. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to push too hard because you push too hard and that breaks trust, but I don't know. I really don't get a malicious feeling from her. Objectively. I overthink everything, and I don't fucking sleep, so I've thought about this a lot.
And Rook, yeah, long sighing breath, and she says, well, I guess I'm really not anyone to judge about a relationship with a Corellan, so do whatever you want. And she just drops that, and then she leaves the room.
Aoife immediately, like, looks at Lou, like, did you hear that?
Lou, like, makes eye contact with Aoife and then turns and looks at Tony. And she's like, did you hear that? Speaking of, how'd that go with Rook? Everything normal?
What did you kill?
You hear a slam of a door upstairs.
Tony, like, leans and looks and makes sure the door is closed.
She's gone. She's gone. You can say whatever you want.
She like vomits out everything, everything that that happened, and is like, yeah, like she was in love with a Corellan, and they died only like less than a year ago. It was their birthday, and I saw Rook cry. Rook was crying. And
Lou's reaching into the bag of holding, and it's almost like it's a bin of popcorn because literal popcorn is coming out of it from snacks she got from Phelan. Wait. All of her hemming and hawing about Corellans, and she was like, do you think she was the wife?
Oh, well.
Or.
Wait, what do you mean?
Oh, I assumed you said from the gravestone that it said that she was like a beloved wife.
Yeah, one more time. I'll roll gravestone red. Here lies Corellan Raven, warrior, wife, and dutiful servant of the Empire.
Hmm.
I would say yeah, because Rook is the one who wanted that gravestone there. There's no body in that graveyard. I still wouldn't blame her for hating the Corellans. I mean, she doesn't know what happened to her. She ultimately doesn't know. She just knows that she died.
That's weirdly like Penny. Aoife just kind of looks like thoughtfully remembering the empty sarcophagus in Penny Dreadful's house where she mourned her daughter.
In some sick fucking way, I almost hope it is because her daughter was still fucking alive and that would be really great for her. I mean, imagine a Rook with somebody who she trusts that much and cares for that much. Like,
I think she probably used to be a whole different person. And, you know, you kind of lose the one person who makes you feel okay and alive and not other, and they're gone. So let's not, like, bring this up, you know, until she brings it up so that she doesn't keep everything from us again.
Yeah, no. I mean,
yeah.
If something comes up, I'm happy to help her.
It's probably safe to assume that, I mean, she did drop that truth bomb and then leave, so she probably assumes that, Tony, you were going to follow up yeah. with the information, and she just didn't want to explain it, so.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, but, like, still, if she doesn't want to bring it up directly, then I'm going to do that, but that's also, like, let's her bring it back to us when she's ready.
She is very slowly telling things, yes.
Yeah.
And Aoife will suddenly remember she didn't use this piece for her showcase because she didn't think it would wow as much as her two dresses did. But she does remember the outfit that she made for Rook that was full of like drawstrings and different ways to make it bigger and smaller to go with her size as she ages and he ages. So she takes that.
Ooh, that's so genius.
She takes that and she packages it up very nicely and creeps up the stairs and just puts it outside of Rook's door.
Damn, Aoife. That's cute. You cute. Did you make one for me?
I want a snap outfit. I want snap away tearaway pants. Yes. I'm just imagining the whole thing is tearaway.
The first zip off cargo pants, like.
Snaps. I don't know why. My brain went immediately there.
Oh, hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I'm here for it.
Well, I'm putting in an order.
Yeah.
Aoife invents snap pants. I'm here for it.
It's the next doily for your family.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has a yeah. legacy.
I don't know how I feel, but I feel like I might go bake something for Rook because I don't think either of us knows how to talk to each other, so we'll just make something yummy.
Something chocolatey with peanut butter.
Hell yeah. That's great. All right, sweet. Do we want to call it on that scene?
Yeah.
All right. That conversation ends, kind of closes the scene. You all are now caught up. We've had that flashback. We know where Tony and Rook were. So we move on now to new business. So we all have a few different scenes we want to do. And once again, like, don't worry too much about timing and space, whatever. Like, you know, Tony, if you want to hop on to something happening in Phelan, like, by all means, like, you can get there. We can figure it out. You can send Rook to deal with whatever you want, et cetera, et cetera. So where do we want to start, gang? Who thinks that their scene should be next or has one they want to nominate as what we should play through?
I think since Aoife's is short and sweet, you know, spending that time with her parents in Phelan, really being able to catch up and see them, and now really for the first time kind of meet her parents as an adult.
Yeah.
Because she's left the house and, you know, starting to get out on her own and to, you know, be responsible and is, you know, trying to learn and figure things out. And so I think for the first time, she really starts to question what her parents do exactly, because she's always known that they've been part of this strange clan called the Checkered Follies, and they do performances and they travel a lot, but there's always seemed like something more to it that was never told her, and now she's like, I'm ready to hear.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, after the events that followed, I think the fashion show, a lot happened very quickly, and there's a lot of mess and a lot of cleanup. So obviously, like, law enforcement from the Eldrin Empire is all over it, just questioning people, seeing what happened, arresting Genevieve and dealing with her. And in the hustle and bustle of all of that, your parents are just very good at sneaking away and spiriting you off with them as well to avoid the rush of questions and everything that might follow. And for them, this whole dramatic thing honestly just seems to roll off their back. Like, they had a great time, you know, doing all this, and they're like, oh wow, like, you were such a hero, like, let's go drink, I know 15 places and all the names of these people, and just tapping into that nightlife network of all these people they seem to know, and go, and you find yourself at, like, you know, bar after restaurant after club after whatever. And they also say at some point too, like, you should probably pick up your stuff. We have a much better place for you to stay.
Amazing. And yeah, Aoife is just shocked.
Yeah.
For one thing, like, every time her parents are home, like, her mom is always the more serious one, because she, you know, takes care of the, you know, the family's house, like, finances and everything. So as soon as she gets back, like, she has to deal with bills and letters and, you know, whatever. And so to finally see her, like, be relaxed and be in, like, this environment that she loves, she's like, what?
Who are,
like,
you?
Like, these whole new sides of her parents, and she's like, her mind is blown.
And they just, absolutely, they thrive here in the city, in this urban environment. They seem to know everyone and always have something to say. They're so worldly. Like, and you knew that. They travel a lot, but, like,
she's never seen it in action. I think that really just kind of amazes her. And, yeah, she ends up getting too drunk, and her parents are so nice about it.
They take care of her. Yeah, I know. You still have a great time, and your mom makes sure you have just as much water the whole time, you know, and you're always eating something. You don't know how it happens, but you find yourself, you're like, oh, I'm holding a chicken wing. Oh, look, what? It's a bread? Like, so yeah, you can absolutely spend the week with them and catch up, and then they do. Yeah, you end up staying with, like, an artist friend of theirs who has, like, a studio high-rise that looks down over the entire city, because they're gone for the week and they have a key and they're there to water the plants or, you know, some, like, ridiculous nonsense. So yeah, you're having a great time with your parents. Lou, I guess this will tap in since we're kind of talking about this. What do you do exactly after the night and all of the chaos kind of starts to fade? Because you and Cassie are still there in the midst of all of this.
Yeah, I think seeing Aoife with, like, her parents and having seen what her parents are capable of, like, she's like, okay, I can turn off the mom act, like, she's safe, I can go do my own thing. So she kind of, you know, congratulates Aoife, you know, tells her to have a great rest of her night, says goodbye to her parents, pleasure meeting you, blah, blah, blah. She will then, like, turn to Cassie and be like, back to yours?
Yeah. Wow, what a night.
These dates are always so interesting that we have.
They sure are. Yes. I'm here for it.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Because, not everybody would be, so.
Like I said, I spend a lot of time, a lot of dusty books, super boring, correcting papers. This is exciting.
Let's get home. And she, like, looks down at herself and she's, like, clutching her clothes, like, that she's collected.
Oh, do you need to, like, change first? Your hotel's around the corner, right?
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
Not. Yeah, maybe walking through the streets like that might be a little.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't fucking care right now. I'm, like, it's been a long day. I'm just gonna hold it together and shuffle my way back. I don't care.
So you don't want to go pick up your stuff? You just want to go?
Yeah, I've got some, like, I'm no Aoife, but I've got to whip stitch this shit back at home and I mean, your place, and then we can hang out. I'm sorry. I'm t- it's, no, not, no. I'm not.
I know. No, I know.
Sorry. yeah, let, shall we? She just, like, gestures towards the door.
Okay, cool. So that's what Aoife's doing. That's the end of this night. So do we want to have, I know you wanted to have a scene with Cassie, Lou, and then what are you thinking for Tony, Nassim, at this point? I feel like, too, is anybody updating Tony on what happened?
I mean, I don't really know how we would right now at this current moment, because we can't just go run out to the chicken hut to send a letter.
Yeah, I guess if you're away from the house.
None of us, I don't think you have sending that, Aoife, so there's nothing, we don't really have a way to update her right now.
All right, then do we want to do the scene with Cassie, or do we want to jump back to something? Yeah, Tony, what are you up to in general? What are you thinking for any of these downtime activities or things you want to take care of?
Well, this is post knowing about the knife, right? And
yeah, it all kind of happened, you know, in this cool storytelling way that we can play with the order of events.
Well, I think Tony is probably trying to stay close to Lou, and maybe from a distance, because it seems like Lou's trying to have a moment with Cassie. So just from a distance, she is keeping an eye. She's like being a bodyguard.
Then let's go ahead and move into. So I think, you know, you make it back to Cassie's place after all of this, and nobody bothers you as you are making your way there. You will say at some point, like, the cabbie who's driving your thing will turn around and be like, You're coming from the Royal Theater, right? Did you hear what happened? Did you see it?
Yeah, you know, there was this girl, Aoife, who was in the show, and she saved the Serena. It was insane. Like she was just a designer, you'd think, but she got out onto that stage and she stopped this horrific being from not only attacking the Serena, but from killing everybody in that theater. Aoife Flannery.
So there really was, like, a fae attack? There was a fae assassin?
I don't know what it was, if it was a fae or something else. It was hard to say. But what I do know is that it was a creature who really wished ill will on the Empire. So luckily, that girl was there. She really saved everybody.
Yeah. Well, I heard she was a satyr, actually. Do you think she's in on it?
That's really racist of you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to. He kind of, like, looks back and is like,
It's okay, just do better, man, you know?
You're part of the problem.
Yeah. You should know that there are plenty of creatures who originally came from the Feywilds that they just exist along right with us. They're just people, dude.
Yeah.
That's okay, the city turns people cynical.
No, I think this is your stop. So we're here. Here you go.
Oh my god, we've all had that Uber ride.
The ones where you're like, oh no.
He will not be getting tipped.
Yeah, he seems fine with that. Just kind of try that, you know, that's a nice night. like, as that, you know, closes the door there. And Cassie's like, oh, what a dick.
Honestly. Jesus, I hope there's not many of those running around.
Ugh. Well, that traveled fast. I don't know. If everybody's already talking about this, Phelan might be in a bit of a panic, honestly. I mean, it's having a fae, or whatever that was, show up in the middle of an event in the city so openly. That hasn't happened ever.
I mean, yeah, I don't know exactly. I haven't really been here much, but all I know from my end is that I used a cold iron dagger on it, and it did not have any kind of special effect that I imagined. And when I used my regular one, it did the same fucking thing. So, but you know, you came in clutch, you know, up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily it wasn't a fae, so.
I mean, I don't really know how this all works with your lyre and stuff. Is it only fae that you can banish, or is it what happens if it is?
It's all pretty fae-centric. That's sort of the whole
okay
deal. We should go in. We should go inside. She like fumbles with the keys and, you know, opens the door, and you can wind your way up towards the familiar, you know, apartment.
So it is date 3, but before we get into like the glory that is date 3.
Oh, she's calling it glory.
There will be glory.
I did want to kind of explain to you more about what I had said about having a day before I saw you, because I think that it kind of affects you and it would be really wrong of me not to mention it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. So, you know about my ex-fiance and what we found out.
Yep, cryptic, fae.
Yeah.
Something very tragic, whole thing, yep.
Yep. So I found out this morning when I went back that there was a dagger that I had given her the last time I saw her stuck into our hotel door, which, you know, I don't think anybody can misconstrue as friendly. And I did go and fact check with some divination expert to make sure that it was from her. But I guess I just want to say, you know, we've gone on 3 dates and 2 beautiful, nothing crazy, loved it. But I know that I'm a lot in baggage, and it's not your responsibility at this point to help me deal with that. So I guess I don't want to influence any decisions that you make or anything with how I feel about it, but I wouldn't.
So this whole thing with Jada, do you think I'm in danger?
Well, I think it would be too much of a coincidence if the night after I had an incredible date with you that this happened, but I can't say for sure.
Okay. Do you think you are in danger from all of this?
Want to say no, because, you know, this is somebody that I thought I was going to share my life with, but also, you know, that's not the same person who would have stuck a knife in my door. I think that she could be really unpredictable, and I think that there is a chance that...
And Cassie, you know, during this time, I assume you've kind of, like, sat down on the couch, like, just recovering from this night. She kind of, like, puts a hand over your knee and sort of pats it and says, if you're in danger from all of this, I would much rather be at your side and able to do something about it than not be there.
Okay. It's not really what I thought you were going to say, because you're just something else.
This is not purely noble. I'm just saying, I have baggage too, obviously. And she like waves, you know, at the harp thing, and let's carry the baggage together. It'll be less heavy. How about that?
Yeah, that would be really great, because it can get pretty heavy. So, but you know, to be honest, when it's just us and we're together, I feel like, for the first time in like really, really long time, that it lightens a little bit. But I she like wipes away a tear. Enough about the bleakness right now, because we're on date 3.
Yeah, let's talk about the good things or other things. Or she just like, her hands go to your face. She's like, I really like you.
I really like you a lot, too. What's your middle name?
My middle name? Oh.
Sorry, Celeste.
Celeste the DM. Andromeda.
Okay.
My parents hated me.
Oh.
My full name is Cassiopeia Andromeda.
Fuck,
I'm
dude.
So sorry. My dirty secret. There it is.
Okay. I don't have a middle name, but if I did, I would tell you right now, because that's a rule that I have, and now...
Okay, what's your what's your favorite color?
Pink. 100%. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, purple. Okay, purple. Great. All right, I think we know enough. And she's like on your face. She's like, you're going to stay here tonight, right? You know, hand tangling in your hair.
She just kind of like flips like her over onto the couch and was like, this is going to become bed activities really quick.
And I just want you to know that I'm about to share with you my favorite thing about myself, which is my fucking ravenous appetite.
Noise. And then I think, bring that curtain. Holy shit. Somewhere, Tony is like arriving on the street, like, do I have the right address? And you feel a psychic, like, oh, what was that?
My friend is getting boned.
Hell yeah.
My sex star is pinging.
You just salute the apartment and walk away.
Yeah. The wind is different.
Yay! Got some points! This is great. What a beautiful downtime episode. Fantastic. So, I think you have a great evening. Between your dexterity, her charisma, I think we're doing great.
It's a winning combination, for sure.
It's a winning combination. It's creative and fun, and you laugh a lot, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
That kind of encounter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And apparently insatiable.
Insatiable. A lot of fun. So the night goes on, Aoife having a great time getting to know your parents better and seeing this whole other side of them, and, you know, Lou having a great time getting to see a whole deeper side of Cassie. So we're all learning a lot. In the morning.
Poor Tony waiting outside.
Yeah, Tony.
It starts to rain. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think so. You probably at some point, right, you know, you're here and like Rook has been like, okay, we really just, yeah, I know she's got a private thing, but we should really watch Lou where she's going. Maybe even you and Rook had this conversation specifically. Like, Lou thinks she's okay, but if she has a freaky undead ex-girlfriend, like, maybe let's take shifts. Rook will take shifts with you watching
Perfect.
Lou.
Perfect.
So, yeah, so where do you want to post up? So, quick explanation, Cassie has an apartment on campus, and so the campus, like, for the University of Phelan is actually, like, an entire neighborhood. It's fucking huge. So Cassie is up in an apartment building with a bunch of other people. She's basically, like, a part-time professor / TA. She's a researcher, so she has to teach just enough courses for them to pay for her research in her apartment. So, you could either hang out, like, outside the apartment building, or, like, there are a bunch of, like, you know, student places you might expect on campus. So, like, an all-night, you know, you could sit in the library, or there's, like, a bar, you know, or burger joint kind of shit.
Tony is cool with, like, camping out outside the building. I'd rather be closer, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, like, sit at, you know, like, a bus stop and, like, chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does Tony do? Do you have, like, a book? Do you have, like, a... When you're just sitting there, you know, in a world without phones, what does Tony do?
Probably cleaning.
You have a guitar.
I do have a guitar. Yeah, you know, maybe she's practicing.
You could be that guy on the college campus just sitting playing guitar for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Bringing in all the freshmen. Like, yeah, you impressed?
Yeah, and people, yeah, drunk, you know, because it's nighttime, being like, whoa, you're so good. Do you have a band? I have a band. Do you want to be my band? Then those kind of conversations.
Mm-hmm. I talk them all into giving me 10% of whatever they earn.
Yeah, and they're like, yes, you're my band. It's called Spew. And you're like, all right.
You're so smart.
Tony, why don't you go ahead and, as you're watching the apartment, make me a perception check.
Ooh. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Ooh, and it's even better. It's 18.
18. Okay. So over the course of the night, I'm just saying this kind of symbolizes what you see over the night. Nothing much is going on. It's obviously a very quiet, sleepy campus. It's also a weekend, so a lot of students are out elsewhere or traveling. You know, it's very quiet. No classes. Not a lot of, like, traffic going on, carriages on the road, or anything of that nature. So it strikes you as odd when you notice, like, this black carriage with kind of gold ornamentation, like, whizzes by at one point. That's fine, whatever, you don't know where it's going. But you see it again, like, an hour or so later, it passes by. And then, okay, and about an hour later, it circles by again, and you swear it's the same carriage.
that keeps rolling by. So that just clocks as a little strange.
It's solid black. Are there any other, like, markers about it that I can pick up on?
No, so there are no markers on it, and they're clearly, like, heavily drawn curtains that you can't see in. And the person who's driving it, too, is sitting there all in black with, like, a cloak, you know, a heavy hat and stuff, so you can't really see their facial features.
I'm gonna wait out into, like, the road around the next time I think it was like, all right, maybe it's been about an hour. I'm gonna go out into the road and see if I can stop it the next time it rolls around.
Yeah, so the carriage, you know, it comes around the corner just as you kind of expect, and you're, like, every hour on the hour, it seems to make this circle, so you're there and you're ready for it. And as it, like, kind of peeks around the corner, you see it pulls off to one side and kind of parks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the side, still down the block from you.
Is Rook around me, or are they posted up somewhere else?
She could be with you if you wanted.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, if she's around me, I'm going to just say, like, I'm going to go check this out. Like, stay close, but stay here. And I'm going to walk up.
You hear it. Click, click. I've got your back.
Nice. I want to approach the carriage.
There's a clearing throat sound that comes from the carriage driver up front.
Good evening there, driver. I couldn't help but notice you passing by this area a few times. Are you lost? Can I help guide you at all?
There's kind of like a rustling sound that comes from the driver. And as they, like, sort of look up at you, you see something very strange. Sort of a paper-skinned person. And you're like, ah, it reminds you a lot of Quill, that living spellbook you saw that Bartleby rescued not too long ago. They look up at you silently, and there's kind of the sound of fabric from the inside the carriage, and somebody clearly says, no worries, please move along. I assume you're not with campus security.
I am. I'm a new separate security firm.
Could you please show me your identification? Approach the window.
She'll just take out some fucking piece of paper and hand it to them and try and see anything inside the window as they are peeking.
Yeah, so you come up and, like, a satin gloved hand comes out of the window and, like, takes the paper. You see, like, in between the curtains, it appears to be a woman. She's dressed in something really nice. Maybe it's a suit. Maybe Eldrin, you think? And, like, as the glove disappears and you hear a... Right. And then kind of the curtains scoot to the side and this very severe woman's face appears in front of you. You see, this is proper identification. And she reaches, like, out for a badge and it kind of, like, flicks open and you see, like, a glimmering, like, seal of, like, an office of, it looks like some kind of military or police official as it comes down. And she pushes up her glasses. So would you like to clarify what you're doing here, loitering?
Oh, I'm here for a friend, supporting someone.
Well, I would recommend you join this friend inside, all right? And don't interfere with Eldrin official affairs.
I could be of some use if you were here for security purposes.
In what way?
Well, I am a member of the Serena's army. I am experienced in Fey combat. I have worked many bounties, and I know that a particular danger could afflict this campus, and that's why I'm here. So perhaps we could work together.
Again, I will ask. Can I see your papers? If you are indeed a registered military official, then certainly we can converse further.
I'm just going to gesture to the pins and things that I have that I'm like, I don't know where else I could have gotten these. At the moment, I don't have my papers. Must have lost them.
Yeah, as active duty Eldrin, which you are no longer, you would absolutely have like military documentation. Basically, you're like base, you know, ID badge and stuff. Like the Empire is very about administration. So clearly your papers have lapsed since you have not been active for a while. And even if you had said papers, they would clearly prove that you were no longer a registered like active duty member of the military. So she pauses, like kind of purses her lips, her perfect red painted lips. Listen, I recognize that those appear to be badges of rank, and you do seem to be doing a favor for a friend. I understand that, and I appreciate your offer of assistance. So in this instance, I'm going to recognize one of our past service members and allow you to go about your way. But please, do as I ask. Stop loitering in this area and leave us to our business. And we shall part, and there will be no further trouble. I cannot make that promise if you continue to push the issue.
Yeah. She'll do a little nod of understanding and take a few steps back to leave them room if they want to keep moving.
Out of curiosity, is your friend Luvera Sath? Or perhaps Aoife Flannery? Do either of these names mean anything to you?
Yeah, they are my companions. How would you know of them?
They were involved in a recent event that endangered the life of somebody very precious to the Eldrin government, and it is my job to gather the facts.
Oh yeah, I heard about this event. I heard that they helped save everyone in that complex and prevented it from being a much worse situation. It's a good thing they were there.
Indeed. Yes, it appears so. What is your name?
Franny.
Well, Franny, as I recommended, please return to your friend. There's nothing more for us to discuss here.
Well, if you were here at all to ask any questions about their experience, I'm sure they'd be happy to clear up any confusion, but I'm just here to make sure that she's...
Oh, we do intend to interview Ms. Sath when she finishes her engagement with one Cassiopeia Andromeda. Very interesting history that one has.
Hmm.
I'm sure your friends will be able to answer all of my questions to my satisfaction upon the morning.
I'm sure they will. Have a good night.
Oh, if you do think of anything, so enjoyed this exchange. Here's my card. And she, like, in the gloved hand, out the window to you. And you see the card reads, Xandria Cross, First Judge to Her Majesty, Duchess Melwyn Tavir.
Pleasure.
Indeed. I have a feeling we'll be seeing each other again.
Sounds like it.
Good evening, Miss Franny.
Evening. She'll back away.
And the carriage resumes its route around, does not come back.
Ooh. Yeah, I have a problem with authority that's not my authority. I'll walk back over to Rook and explain what just happened.
Yeah. Rook is like, that does not sound good.
No, sounds like...
Should we tell them? We should warn them, right?
Right now? I don't know if they're coming back tonight.
Is that... Oh.
I think they're right. Gonna try and come back in okay. The morning and bring them in for questioning, so... I don't know. Do you want to try and beat them to it? Leave earlier? Because they're very probably watching us right now.
I don't. Rook is like kind of caged animal, like looking around like, this is why I hate cities and this is not in the Empire. I don't know. She looks at you and is like, I don't know what to do.
Well, Maybe we can...
I can't kill her. She's government. No, no, I can't kill her.
No, no, no.
They'll just keep coming.
Maybe...
panicking.
Let's just send a message to Lou and let her decide what she wants to do.
Okay. All right. Like, slip it under the door?
Yeah. Or maybe let the building know that we have a message for Cassie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can certainly fast forward, like, you know, to the morning when everyone's waking up and, you know, it's all going good. I think Rook would suggest, like, you specifically and she should either fucking hide or get the fuck out of there to not get dragged into whatever is about to happen.
Yeah, that sounds good. In the message, I'm going to say Franny, too. I'm not going to sign my name. Hopefully you pick up on that, Lou.
Yeah, so early, you know, bright and early. And I imagine, I don't know why, but I think Cassie's one of those people who just, like, has kimonos, like, in their house that they wear, like, around in the morning, you know, just waking up. She's singing something, bard shit, you know, she kind of ambles out and she's like, hey, calls back to you. I think we have mail from... Do you know a Franny?
What? Mail? We have mail? I don't... Oh, Franny.
It's under the door.
And she's like, yeah, that's, yeah. And she'll, like, be like, yeah, that's my friend.
Yeah. What does the letter say? Yeah, Nassim, you want to tell us what Tony wrote?
Judge lady, I write down her name, stalking you last night. Wants to ask you about what happened at the fashion event. I think you're a suspect.
Okay. Well, that's not ideal. I don't want to speak to authorities. So she will take the letter and kind of like bunch it up. And she's gotten like semi-dressed, you know, just like has her armor and her pants on. And she's like, well, I think that after the chaos of yesterday, I have to catch up with my girls. But first, you are getting pancakes, and then I'm going to...
There's always time for pancakes.
There's always time for pancakes.
I'm fucking telling you. Always. Also, I just don't see for Lou that she would ever have sex with somebody and not make them breakfast in the morning. That just does not... compute for me.
That just is not part of her alignment.
Yeah, I am definitely chaotic pancakes alignment. And then after that, I'm going to
this is from a judge of a first judge. That's not... You know, she like stops you, like skillets and stuff. She's like, no, if you have to go, you've got to just go.
Like to see them? Because I was going to climb out the window.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you should, none of this. You should just get out of here and I'll tell them whatever.
Why? What's so bad? I've never.
What should I say? This is, no, first judge. So that means like directly under the Duchess that runs Phelan. So not the Tsarina, who we helped. And Melwyn Tavir hates the Tsarina. That's like common knowledge. And if she's sending her hound, her first hound, after, this is not good.
Well, that feels mighty fucking suspicious and makes me feel like that might be kind of an involvement from last night, if that's the case. So, I'm going to listen to you because on top of being beautiful, you're incredibly smart. So, I'm going to... No, yeah, I'm going to kiss you and I'm going to climb out the window and I will make you breakfast another time.
Okay, and get Aoife to wherever she is if they haven't already found her. Oh, shit, do you still have stuff at the hotel? That's probably how they found you.
That's okay. I have just all my stuff in this bag, so I don't need to go back. I'm going to be okay. This is not the first time I've had to make an escape in a dark alley. It is the first time that I've had to make an escape in a dark alley after a wonderful evening with an incredible woman.
Focus. Okay. I'll tell them. I won't say anything. I mean, they saw us there, but I, you were a stranger in the night, a beautiful stranger. I took home.
Lucky me.
Lucky
okay,
me.
You. I'm gonna go.
She like kisses and like it's lingering, and she's like, no time. You gotta go.
Okay, I'm gonna talk to you so soon. Okay, bye. And she will.
Okay. Okay. Be
with
safe.
Extraordinary dexterity, just like flip herself over the railing, climb down a gutter, and just like stealth away into the shadows of the alleys.
And she, you see, yeah, Cassie just waving. So Rook and Tony, you got the fuck out of there. Lou, you got out of there. And I think Lou, as you're like, you know, dashing away, keeping to the shadows, you see a black carriage pull up in front of an apartment building and a very official looking woman step out. But that's gone. That's Cassie's problem to deal with. Not your problem.
She's handling that baggage really quickly.
Aoife, this wouldn't occur to you that this was part of your parents' plan at all, but them really insisting you got your stuff out and went somewhere else, probably after the fact, is starting to make a lot of sense in the light of all of that. So we are pretty close to time here, so, and I feel like we have a couple other things to maybe do, so maybe next time we'll resolve some of those downtime things and then move into our big decision making. That works for you all? I feel like you got a little bit of more information about how the Empire might be handling this situation. All right. Cool. Well, I think we'll call it there and we'll pick it up, resolving the rest of our downtime next episode. But that's it. That's the episode, everybody. Wow, we did a lot of stuff. We learned so much stuff. How you all feeling?
I can't wait for the next recording because I need closure.
No closure, only action.
I'm very excited for us to talk about what we want, what conversations we want to pursue to deal with this Hecate problem.
Yeah, y'all, we ought to talk about this off stream. This is a heavy decision I feel we're walking into, so.
We are definitely coming up on one of those, like, BioWare, you know, decisions where you pick the faction that you start with, and it'll kind of funnel where things go, because there are a lot of players and a lot of people are interested in you. You're real powerhouses now in the situation, and it's all up to you, babes.
Guys, we better pick the mages. If I hear one of you guys say we gotta help the Templars, I'm done. I'm out.
If but somebody the says Templar story
is
better.
1000% disagree.
It is better.
And I don't have the time to tell you why right now.
All right. Wow.
We'll save that for off-stream.
Wow, okay.
Patron-only content.
We'll save that for off-stream. We're going to go argue about that. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We always want to go ahead and take some time as well to say a huge, massive thank you to those of you who subscribe, listen, follow, recommend, share, retweet, repost, like give us likes. You all, we could not be doing this without you. We don't make any money from the show except for those of you who donate and like sub and stuff. So thank you. Thank you for believing in artists, for keeping this going, for valuing our work. We see you and we love you for it. And in particular, we always take some time to thank our top tier Patreon donors. So Patreon is a really great way that you can support the creators you love by going to patreon.com/venturemaidens. You can donate as little as $1 a month to help us make this show possible. So we want to say a huge thank you to our Arnie cohorts tier. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
And thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you so much, Nadia, our new cohort joining us. Thank you for being here.
Oh, and for our Farrah's drinking mates here, we have a big thank you to Chris.
And thank you, Markali.
And thank you, Fable.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Sheepish Gnome.
That's it.
And Ben.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. And Ben! Nope. Sorry, Ben. I'm so sorry,
How
Ben.
How could you? No, I'm just
kidding. It's hard to read Zoom chats. Thank you so much, Ben. We adore you. You all are wonderful. Thank you for joining us for this super special episode. And don't worry, there'll be more treats in store next time. So until then, everybody, I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I played the very Seth, your drow rogue lover.
Lover,
and I'm Nassim Etemad. I've been your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I'm Aoife Flannery, your barely legal bard.
Yes! Legal enough? You're a party of three bards with your parents. You're going to get into anything you want. Any club, any bar. I know people. You know people. They're buying you drinks.
I guarantee you Tony's going to say that more than Aoife was. She's going to be like, my friend knows people.
Yeah. She knows people. You want to double check that list? Because I bet she's on it. I bet she's on it, girl. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being here for our super celeb party. And until next time, everybody.
Venture on!